Hubhopper Originals.
I usually follow the mantra of batching. So I batch record my podcast. So every month I try to dedicate 3 days where I am doing 3 to 4 interviews per day so that I have enough inventory of episodes with me and I don't have to rush through and get tensed about what is coming next. So I batch record my podcast and so that my team also is having enough amount of inventory to work upon.
Welcome to the Podcasting University. Looking for help on starting your own podcast? Then this is the place to be. We will help you with everything from selecting your topic to promoting and monetizing your podcast in the simplest language possible. Listen to other podcasters who've been through the grind and learn from them as we interview them every week. You can find more details on thepodcastinguniversity.com. Hello, this is Dilip and welcome to episode 24 of The Podcasting University. I still remember that conversation of mine with my mentor who was actually assigned to me to teach me sales. When I spent 5 minutes trying to tell him that I cannot sell, he silently kept staring at me and at the end of the conversation clapped and told me, "You have amazing selling skills. You just sold me the idea that you cannot sell." That's sales. A lot of people call it dirty. But the truth is that it is one of the most interesting topics to converse on, to learn, and to succeed. In today's episode, we are going to talk about sales as a podcasting niche. We have with us a business podcaster who is also India's first woman to host a podcast on sales. She is a certified strategic sales expert and also the founder of RB Consulting, which is a boutique firm providing bespoke sales and strategic planning advisory to women-led businesses. She is also a TEDx speaker, author of the book How to Revolutionize Your Sales Mindset, and also a member of the Leadership Network at Entrepreneur Magazine. She has also been listed in the top 20 most promising women consultants for 2020 by the Consultant Review Magazine. Let us welcome Roshni Baronia from the podcast Ace the Sales and talk to her to understand more about how she managed to pick such a difficult topic and run a podcast successfully. Hello, Roshni, and welcome to the Podcasting University.
Hello, Dilip. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
It's going to be an interesting conversation, Roshni, because, you know, I'm sure we're going to talk a lot about sales. And that's one topic that I think a lot of people think is very difficult. And, you know, it's something that has happened to me as well some time back. But then when we deep dive into the nitty-gritties of selling and sales, you know, it changes the entire context. So considering you are somebody who's, you know, I'll call an expert at tutoring or training or telling people about what sales is, it is going to be a fun discussion. So let's start off with an introduction about yourself, your background, and how did Ace the Sales, a very unique topic for a podcast, how did this podcast come into being?
Absolutely, yes, it is quite a journey, I would say. To me, coming into the entire space and arena of sales and the podcast coming around. So yes, it will be an interesting conversation and I would love to share with your listeners. So just to give a context about myself and who I am, what I do, I am a sales coach and consultant for women entrepreneurs. I am the founder of boutique firm RB Consulting, which provides sales advisory and strategic planning services to women-led startups and small businesses. I also work one-on-one as a coach and consultant with global clients as well. Now, how did this entire thing of Ace the Sales came about was that in early 2020, I was looking for a content creation platform, which was in continuance with what I was doing in my consulting. So, of course, a large part of what marketing we do is through content creation and content marketing and social media engagement and all that. But there needed to be a platform where I'm constantly creating content as a series and in a regular format. And that's when I was dabbling with a couple of ideations as to what to do and what not to do. Of course, YouTube and video was something which was obvious and many people were doing. And we already had in India the entire space of YouTube influencers already being present here, Instagram influencers being present here. But somehow both the things, especially video, was not something which was fitting in well with me. I knew myself, I had done this self-assessment about myself that I'm not a too much of a video person. I cannot consistently do videos. And I knew that even if I push myself to do that, somewhere down the line, I will give it up and I will not do it forever. Another thing was that I could do blogging, which I was already doing. But I also realized that in my writing also, I was very conversational. The way I used to write was also a spoken format. I used to use a very spoken language in the written format also, like exclamation marks and bold letters and uppercase letter. So it was like someone is sitting in front of me and I'm just talking. So when this idea of podcast came across, it was like putting two and two together. And I thought that, yes, I cannot do videos, but I want to speak. So yes, audio is the perfect format. So that's how podcast came. And Ace the Sales, because of course, my work is all around sales consulting and coaching. So it had to be an extension of my work. So that's why the specific topic around sales, I know sales is a dirty word. No one wants to talk about it much. Specifically talking about that. And I'm so glad that probably my podcast is the first in India to be hosted by a woman on sales, because I know a lot many people are doing business, entrepreneurship, startups, but talking about the dirty word sales is something new. So yeah, here I am.
Right, that's interesting. One question that comes to my mind is you specifically looking at, you know, passing, as in you're targeting women audience, or this in an entire topic that you're putting out there is focused primarily on women.
Yes.
So, you know, it's a question that came to my mind while I happened to listen to your TEDx talk some time back. But then still, why specifically women? Because sales, I think, is something that every one of us will need at some point, because, you know, even if you're going in for an interview, you know, it is said that you're actually selling yourself. So, That's a technique that everybody needs to learn. But why specifically targeting women entrepreneurs?
Good question. And a question which I get asked often, that why we are being left out. The men always keep saying that to me. So it's nothing like I'm leaving you behind. You can, of course, listen to podcasts still. But, you know, in my consulting work also, which I started in 2016, prior to that, I was doing an e-commerce business for 6 years. Like since 2009, I've been in this entrepreneurial journey. But in 2016, I moved into consulting, where I was specifically working in sales with women-led startups and organizations. Now, this niche, which I would say comes across because of the vision I have for my life, the purpose-driven work that I want to do, the meaningful work that I want to do in my life. So if you allow me to just take a step back into how it got started, how I got into sales consulting, was that in my e-commerce business, which I was doing for 6 years, I was also interacting a lot with fellow women entrepreneurs, peers, communities, forums, and meetups. And I was networking like crazy. I love to meet people, talk to them, know their challenges. And everyone, all of the women were facing the similar challenge of how to grow their business as a solopreneur. So these were either home-based businesses or women who are leading their business alone, but are facing huge challenge into growing their business and how to grow their business. So this was a purpose and a question which was in front of me as to how I can be the catalyst to their growth journey. So I was coming from a space of how entrepreneurship has been a great tool for me to realize my potential to do what I want to do and design a lifestyle which I want. And similarly, I want to help other women. So I got into consulting, choosing to work with women only. And that's where when the podcast happened, it, of course, had to be curated for a female audience because they are actually my clients also. And they are also the people whom I want to bring a change for, add something, contribute something into their business and entrepreneurial journey. So yeah, that's why it is very intentional that the podcast conversation is curated around the challenges women specifically face around selling.
Right. That answered a couple of other questions that I had. So which means that because you are already into entrepreneurship, you are already into a business, you were interacting with women entrepreneurs. So, you know, to some extent, I think your market research was already done. You knew that there is going to be an audience who is, as in, who will be interested in listening to this show. And you had some amount of that research already taken care of, right?
Yes. So market research in terms of the niche and who the audience will be and who it is targeted for, that was clear. But in terms of market research for podcast itself had to be done because I will admit that earlier I had this misconception that podcast is only something which big production houses can do or media houses can do. How can I do it? I'm no one.
Right.
So podcast seemed to be that far-fetched thing. But as my business moved global in mid-2019, I was like speaking at virtual global events, summits, and I was networking a lot in the global arena as well. My clients were now international, predominantly in US, Canada, and Australia. I was seeing that anyone and everyone was having a podcast. And it was like not a big deal for people there. I was actually consuming podcasts 4-5 years back, like the Problem Solvers broadcast by entrepreneur.com and How I Built It by Guy Raz and all these things. And they were like something which was beyond my scope of reach. I couldn't do this type of a thing. But when I saw these people, my clients and my peers again in the global space, they were having podcasts, it felt that, hey, I can do that too. So let's look into what is a podcast and how to do and how what to go about doing in it. So, of course, I Googled a little and I saw that, yes, India is, of course, warming up to this entire podcast world. I saw Hubhopper was a recently funded startup in the podcasting space. And I was at that time also into media sales. I was doing a project which was into media and I was attending these media events and everyone was talking about podcasts and panels and everything. But the conversation was all around the creator space. The audience was still not aware about what a podcast is, the new format of radio, so to speak. And even when I launched my podcast, people were like, okay, so do I have to download an app to listen to it? Where do I review? How do I comment? Why aren't you doing YouTube? Why are you doing audio? So it was such a new thing for people also to warm up to. But I think just over the past year, like it has been phenomenal. The podcast space has just exploded, like communities like Commune and Platform for Artists, Spotify, Amazon focusing on India specifically as a market. Podcast influencers coming around and you are featuring so many of them. So I think Indian audience also has embraced this new format of audio, which is quite different from the days of radios and Amin Sayani back then. But it's good.
Right. Okay. So I'll get a little more deeper into your style of podcasting, because most as in almost all of your episodes involve interviewing people who've done well in sales. And you know, if, like, for example, if I am somebody who thinks about sales, and if I am to, you know, think about starting a podcast, and what is it that I'm going to cover, you know, I'll probably limit, as in my thoughts will get limited to maybe 4 or 5 different topics. But, you know, when I look at some of your episodes, when I listen to some of your episodes, I see some very interesting and different conversations that are happening. Like, you know, there is this episode that you did where you're talking about dressing right, you know, for better sales conversions. Now, that's something that usually, as in somebody like me, wouldn't even think about. So how do you research your topics, and how do you, you know, find guests who can talk about those specific topics? Does it work first finding your guests and then deciding what on the questions that you want to ask or the topic, or do you have already, you know, a researched set of topics and then you're looking at guests who can specifically talk about those topics? How does it work?
Yeah, thank you so much, Dilip, first of all, for noticing this market difference between other people who are talking about sales and what we are trying to do in our podcast. Because the intention that I have for this platform is to bring a holistic conversation around sales, because there is not one thing which defines a success for you when you are trying to grow your sales figures and numbers. It's not only the numbers or the transactional activities that you have to do around sales. It is a lot about your mindset and personal growth and how you as a person are approaching this difficult conversation. So it's about helping people realize that and look at it from all angles. Take a 360 perspective on it. That's why we talk about, yes, wardrobe styling and money mindset and how you should invest your finances so that that gives you a confidence, and that's why you can command and quote your prices more confidently. So it's all about elements which can help you increase your confidence. Now, coming to how I get on board guests, so there are a couple of ways I do that. So firstly, it is through my network and Instagram, where I am mostly active, where I look at people's work, what are their conversations. And if I feel that I can give a twist to what kind of a work they are having in the context of sales, then I reach out to them. So it, like, for example, you mentioned the wardrobe styling piece. So I actually, when I did a solo episode on body language and nonverbal communication and a little bit of this in a solo episode. But to have someone who can exclusively talk about wardrobe is something which is very unique to the conversation of sales. And since I'm not the expert, I'm not the image consultant or the stylist, I brought up on an image consultant, an image strategy person, strategist. And so the questions I was asking her were all in the context of when a person is sitting in a sales meeting or having a sales conversation, whether on video or in person, and how the client perceives your branding. And so all those aspects. So even if the guest has a particular expertise, even if she is an author, but for example, there is a in the future episode coming across an author, very renowned and seasoned author, who has done a book on how to use stories and how to think like a writer to communicate to your people and client and audience. So the questions that I'm asking her are all in the context of how it feels for a person who is pitching and how it feels for the client who is listening. So the expertise also is tailored to the specific intention of how it helps sales, how it helps a person in selling better. And so that's one format where I am reaching out through social media and my network. Another is now we have a lot many platforms like matchmaker.com, podcastguests.com, through which I look through profiles. If I find they are relevant again and align to what I want to bring on to the show, I reach out to them as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when you reach out to your guests, is there some form of, you know, a selection process that you follow? Or, you know, because you there might be an a guest that you initially would feel is probably a good fit for your show. And the reason why I'm asking this is because your show is that is typically focused on a very tight niche which needs a lot of information to be given out to the audience. So is there a selection process where you actually talk to one of your guests, try to understand if there is something that of value that they can offer, or is there something that you can maybe get out of them which can be value for your audience? Is there something like that you do, or is it a process where you do all of that and then you reach out to the guest?
Yeah, so for me, the selection process is the in-depth research that I do, because coming from a sales background, research is something which is very, very strong for me. And I like stalk the person for a couple of days and like, what are they posting? What is their conversation around? What is their personal branding? And the second step is I can formulate questions around their expertise. That are the two things. The third is where I am a little doubtful about how this will fit into my conversation. Then in that case, I have a pre-conversation with them before the recording, and then put it across them that this is what my audience is. This is what I talk about on the podcast. How do you feel your conversation or your expertise can fit into this this arena? So yeah, premise. So then we have a conversation, and then probably come up with a outline of what the conversation can be. Like this happened with a financial planner. So I did a pre-interview call with her as to, hey, I really want to have this conversation because it is a big piece of how women find confidence and define themselves, financial empowerment and literacy. So how can we tailor this conversation to sales? So we came up with a few ideas, and then that's when we do the recording. So yeah, that's the way I do it.
Okay, that's interesting. So I'll go a little back to one of, as in something that we just spoke about a little while back. So podcasting from an Indian market perspective can be overwhelming for people, because we've listened to those extremely good audios from some of the, the Western podcasters, as in podcasters who've done extremely well over the last many years. So when it comes to podcasting in India, the usual thought is that it is going to be a very difficult process. How is it that I'm going to edit audio? All of, there is a lot of work that might be happening in the background. So when you started off and to what you're doing today, has your podcast setup changed? Can you just tell me about how you started off with your podcast, and how did you evolve through the last many episodes till the latest one in terms of your show? And were there any changes that you did? And if yes, what were the changes that you did?
Yes, that's a long answer, I suppose. yes, it has been a learning curve for me as well, but a fun one. This is one thing I would admit, that I am having so much fun with podcasting because it is giving me the freedom to experiment. So earlier when I started off, it was solo episodes. Then I did some co-hosted episodes as well. Then I did theme-based series. Then now I'm doing guest interviews. So it has been a difference in format all throughout. And considering that I have not completed 1 year of podcast yet. So I've dabbled with all this. But that's the fun part. I am having fun with podcasting, and it is so enjoyable. I like the idea and the process of creation, coming up with content and curating it for like a 15 or 20 minutes duration episode where there are tangible takeaways for people as well. So that is a very interesting space to work on. So firstly that. Secondly, the setup. So my podcast is a pandemic baby. So I started when we were amidst the lockdown. It started in June, 1st of June, we released the podcast. And so the recording is all at home. I have a condenser mic and a pop-up filter, and just on my laptop I'm doing my recording. Initially I did editing on Audacity. So yes, I followed a lot of Pat Flynn's videos on podcasting, how to do podcast, what editing to do. So yeah, I did dabble into that. But very soon I realized that this is something that I cannot do. And if I get into editing, I will lose out on the charm of podcasting and I will not do it. So I outsourced editing to someone. So editing and publishing is done by outsourced people, and I am only focusing on the content creation and the topics and the guest and the research about them.
Okay. So, good point that you brought up. So my next question is something that is related to this exact same topic. Now, I do some of these podcast discovery calls with people who just want to talk to me and check if, their idea is something that is good for a podcast. And a lot of times, what people ask me, and this is something that I want to ask some of you who's already doing into a full-time business, a full-time entrepreneur. Some of these questions, the question that they ask is, how do you find time to do this? And how much time does it take? Now, when it comes to my show, there is a lot of time that I put in terms of researching, in terms of recording, editing, promoting. So from you, what I want to understand is, you are a full-time entrepreneur and there is a considerable amount of time that you might have to spend on your core business. So how do you squeeze out time for this entire thing? How much time do you spend for a single episode from ideation to production? How much of the effort is it that comes from you and how much of it is done by people that you outsource things to?
Yeah. So, in terms of my time devotion, I think since it is a huge part of my business, it is not a standalone thing that I'm doing just as a hobby. It is a part of my business. That's why I am very cognizant about that. I have to put dedicated time into it. Whenever I am podcasting, spending time on the research or the content or recording of it, it is not something which I am taking away from my business time and doing that. It is very much an integral part of my business because, yes, my clients are there. I am promoting my products and lead magnets and building my email list through that. And also, I am collaborating with the guest as well in various ways, affiliate marketing, referral partnership, and doing podcast swaps. So there are huge opportunities that arise out of the podcasting as well for me. So it is, yes, supporting my business. And that's why it has the required amount of focus from me. Coming to the time that it takes away from me, so I usually follow the mantra of batching. So I batch record my podcast. So every month I try to dedicate 3 days where I am doing 3 to 4 interviews per day so that I have enough inventory of episodes with me and I don't have to rush through and get tensed about what is coming next. So I batch record my podcast and so that my team also is having enough amount of inventory to work upon. And then the publishing happens sequentially. Every Thursday we release our episodes. So that is a streamlined process that is already set now. And in terms of researching, again, I dedicate 2 days 2 weeks ahead of the interviews on each of the guests as to what specific questions am I doing for them and send them across over the email. So that's the basic thing I do. So probably in a month, I'm dedicating 5 days to podcast, releasing 8 episodes.
Okay. That's an interesting point. Batching, be it blogging, vlogging or podcasting, I completely agree that batching helps and that is something that people can use to leverage, the time that you're putting in, produce multiple episodes, keep it ready so that you don't get overwhelmed with what to do when, the next week when it is for you to kind of go and release an episode. Exactly. Good, interesting point there. Right. So, Harshni, you said your podcast is supporting your core business. So, what I primarily want to understand is that you also said that you get most of your guests through your networking that happens. So, how much of this podcast is supporting your core business, and what is the kind of help that you've got from these podcasts in terms of promoting your core business today?
Right. So the nature of my business, which is consulting, needs me to be established as the expert, as the authority. So I need to have a very strong personal brand, which I have consciously worked upon over the past 4 years. And so this podcast is hugely supporting that personal brand of me and supporting me to establish myself as the thought leader in this space, because of women talking about sales is something which is in itself very unique, especially for if you call, right. talk about in the Indian context. So yeah, that is something which I am able to leverage through the podcast as well. Secondly, it creates opportunities for me in terms of collaboration and speaking as well. So since I have a podcast, it has become way easier for me to get on other people's podcast, because they know that I understand what podcasting is, what are the nuances, how the recording should go, and what they need to put across a good episode. So I support them also with promotions and everything. So that is one thing. Another thing is when it comes to the guests. So I am viewing my guest as my collaborator. So of course, there is one focus, which is the listeners. So whatever content you are putting out, whatever conversation you are having, it is after all meant to add value to them. So the focus on the listeners is there, of course. But I also have a focus on the guest, where I look towards them as my collaborators. So I specifically am not interviewing CXOs or big shots or influencers or sales leaders of corporate houses. I'm not doing that. I am doing interviews with people who are small business owners. So the audience is small business owners and the speakers are small business owners. And I'm digging deep with them as to what is the sales process they are having in their business, what has worked for them. So that element of relatability is there between the guest and the listener and the guest and me. So it is easier for us to collaborate on ventures. So we are coming up with joint programs and launches. We are getting into referral partnerships, affiliate marketing, like I said. So that is one more angle. The last angle is that since this is my indigenous, so to speak, media and content platform of myself, I am free to promote and share whatever I want to. So my free resources, lead magnets, I have recently introduced in mid-roll a digital product, which is a low-ticket item. So these are the things which I'm still experimenting with. But yet again, this is a way which, of course, it is supporting my business, which was a question, that it is helping me promote my business to the audience and come up with collaboration with my guests. So,
right.
Win-win.
And something that I just noticed while you were, you're talking about how it was supporting your business is that in addition to your podcast supporting your core business, you are in a way monetizing your podcast as well by doing a lot of these things. Like, for example, you spoke about affiliate marketing. You spoke about, the as in promoting a digital course, a low ticket item as in the mid roll. So you're already looking at monetizing your podcast as a standalone venture as well, right?
Yes, definitely. Because as of now, it is a shoot coming out of the main tree. But if it is able to stand itself and find a ground of itself in the coming future, it will be great. I am all up for it.
Right. Interesting. That's a nice point, because, one of the core topics of discussion whenever there is a group of podcasters interacting is about monetizing. And today, monetization is a big thing, and a lot of people, as in probably nobody has been able to kind of crack that secret code to monetizing a podcast. So, you know, that's a very, and, you know, I have been an advocate always of, because I have been into, I'm a core affiliate marketer and a blogger. So I have been an advocate of using your podcast to promote some of the other things and monetize it that way, rather than looking at podcast as a core monetization platform. So, you know, when I listen to what you were saying, it kind of supports that theory of mine, because it looks like that is an easier way of monetizing rather than breaking your head and on thinking, how is it that I'm going to monetize my podcast? This is an easier way of going and doing it, right?
Exactly. Because you are not creating anything new, because the lead magnets that I have, they were already there for my marketing and promotion. I'm just integrating it here again. Another good thing that happened, that the podcast itself helped me create an interesting lead magnet. So recently I did a small series, abbreviated series of 9 episodes on how to have impactful sales conversation. So this was a series of under 10 minutes each episode. And I then compiled that episode into a PDF with podcast link and the transcript, and it became a lead magnet.
Right.
So it is such an interesting, and I think it is a seamless integration into my business. Wherever I am speaking, whenever I'm at summits, I am very intentional about talking about my podcast, because it's a great leg of attracting new clients. So if I talk about sales process, because I'm a sales consultant, so if I talk about sales process, so yes, in the attract and nurture stage, this is a great platform to have. The only downside of it is that it is not as searchable as a YouTube video as of now. But I think it will get to that place somewhere. And especially if I consider my target audience, they are very aware about podcast, what it is. So I am finding this medium to be very useful for me.
Nice. Good. Question that is linked to this one. So I'll come to that. And I think this is something that a lot of newbie podcasters kind of struggle with. So what are your promotional techniques for your podcast? So what do you do? What are the social media platforms that you kind of look up to? Are you, doing some kind of advertisements, or what different methods do you follow to promote your podcast?
So my promotions have all been organic. I have not done any paid ads for my podcast. It is all organic through social media, and then syndication on platforms like Medium, Quora, Tumblr, Reddit, and Pinterest. So on these platforms, I make sure that I share each of the episodes there. So it is totally organic. And initially, yes, I was sending it to my personal network through WhatsApp broadcast list, also to the point of annoying people that why is she sending every week a podcast link, when people were not aware about how to listen to a podcast. So at that time, I was sharing with them. So they was clueless about what I'm doing. but gradually, yes, thankfully, I've stopped doing that, because now the podcast in itself has an organic listenership and an organic growth. I think the media host and the platforms in itself give that push, and it comes through that also. So mine is hosted on Hubhopper again. So I think they are doing a pretty good job in terms of promoting podcasts. So yeah, that's organic.
Okay.
Totally.
Okay, so last couple of questions that I had. So one is that, like, what you might be aware that I'm doing this series specifically on women podcasters, and there are quite a few women who are in the podcasting space, who are in very typical kind of niches, very different topics, and are doing really well. So what I want to understand from you, one, for a woman who's planning to start a podcast, and second, for the podcasters community in general, for somebody who plans to start a podcast, what, according to you, are two very important things that you need to have or you need to keep in mind when you are starting out in podcasting and if you plan to do it long term?
Yeah, great question, Dilip. I think this is something which everyone needs to hear when they are starting out on podcast, because this is what I heard initially and it has worked for me. First is, don't look at the numbers at least for first 3-4 months. So that is going to be very depressing that only 50 people listened to it, 100 people listened to it. So it is going to be very depressing. And don't try to get your head around analytics because podcast still is not very streamlined. Like reviews also, if people in US have given you a review, you won't be able to see it here because you are logged in from your Indian account. So those are some technical fallouts that the podcast space has to streamline at its back end. Review, again, it's not easy to give review on every platform. Some apps have it, some don't. So people get confused as to where to go, what to do. So those are the things. Just don't bother about that very early on. Just focus on your niche, focus on your content, the conversation you're putting out. Make sure that you have a flow to it, you have a theme to it. Keep the listener in your mind so though that when they are investing their 15, 20, 45, 1 hour with you, it has to be a meaningful conversation for them. There has to be a takeaway for them. So just focus initially on that. And the second thing is consistency. I know people start podcasts just thinking, oh, it is raining today, I'm having a cup of tea, let's talk about this on a mobile and release a podcast. So that is, I don't feel that is a long-term vision for a podcast. You need to have a purpose attached to it as to what it is going to do for you. Even if it is not associated with your business, like for me, it is for my business. Probably for someone, it is not for a business. It is just to share their thoughts, their values, whatever is happening, storytelling and whatever they want to have. But then please have a well-defined purpose to your podcast, because that's which will keep you excited and committed to releasing it on the deadline, which is every week, every fortnight, every month, whatever feels comfortable for you. But stick to that consistency because you have a purpose to it. So like initially I started out doing a fortnightly podcast because I didn't know what I'm signing up for, how much it will take of a commitment from me, how much time I have to devote. Mm-hmm. So I kept it fortnightly. Once the systems were streamlined, then I moved into a weekly show that, okay, now everything is fine. I'm outsourcing editing. Let's move into weekly episodes. So, but I never gave up on it because there is a strong purpose attached to it. So those are my two things. Just don't put too much significance on the numbers, at least initially, and have a strong purpose to your podcasting. And that's when you will be able to stay committed and consistent with it.
Right. Good. Interesting 2 points. Okay, so a last question that I have for you. So what's your outlook with your podcast, Ace the Sales? What is it that you have in terms of your plans for Ace the Sales?
So currently it is going on till July. So in July, we are taking the first season break. And then after that, I am going to really look into a new format of podcast again. Experiment with a new thing. So I will put my brains into that and let's see what comes up. And in June, I am looking to do a huge finale event, say season finale event, because we will also be completing 1 year of the podcast. So let's plan to do that. I'm doing that. And actually, it's kind of surreal, Dilip, that you have invited me on your show as a successful women podcaster when 1 year also has not completed yet. So yeah, I'm feeling good about that as well. So yeah, that's what I have in mind for ATS.
Interesting. And I'll look forward to that finale episode of yours. And then I would certainly want to see as in what comes out of your analytical brain on what is it that you want to do for your next season. So I look forward. And from my perspective, Roshni, what I really appreciate, like what you said, I really appreciate about people doing something is, the consistency with which they do it. And you said that your podcast is a lockdown baby. So the last 1 year during the lockdown, there have been so many podcasts that have come up. But, most of them have kind of fizzled out because they didn't go beyond maybe a 5, 6 or maybe a 10 episode. Right. While, I can understand that there could be breaks, but starting off after that break and maintaining their consistency is something that is important. And for me, one of the core definitions of success is being in it without giving up and doing it consistently. And, something like a sales, a topic like that of sales, for me is something, as in I cannot think beyond maybe 3 or 4 episodes. And when I happen to listen to your episodes and I happen to go through your show, I was surprised to see the amount of content you've generated, the very different topics you've touched upon. And, it's very interesting. And I not just me, I'm sure a lot of people would have wanted to know what happens behind the scenes in your episode. And that's primarily what I wanted to bring out this episode.
So, Dilip, actually, behind the scenes, there is one more that I would like to mention here, because you are talking about consistency, which not many people do, but I did it because I intentionally wanted to remove all the roadblocks which could come in my way of continuing with the podcast. Like I said, attaching a purpose to it and outsourcing editing, whatever which I could have thought of that could come in my way, I eliminated that. And one thing which was still there was that if I'm doing it alone, I will lose out on the fire with which I started it. So I need an ecosystem which supports me. And for that, I brought together 5 to 6 new podcasters, which started out around the same time. We formed a small mastermind group. And every month and then fortnightly, we used to meet up online just to share what we are doing with our podcast and what is going on, sharing resources. Hey, this thing came up. Hey, this Amazon Prime Music is taking submissions. Everyone submit there. So we were like supporting each other. All the newbies, all the rookies were supporting each other in this podcast journey. And that was a huge support for me because I initiated that small mastermind. And just so to be a role model for that 5 people, I was so aggressively working on my podcast, what to do and what to do next in your journey, just to ensure that I am giving resources to them. I was building up something for myself, and that podcast has worked out so well. Now it has like more than 15,000 downloads and everything. So yeah, that is another piece of consistency, because that small mastermind group helped me just keep pushing myself to be the role model and to continue with podcast.
it's a very a valid and very important point that you just spoke about, Roshni, because there is this concept of having accountability partners. If you think that what you're doing isn't something that you might be able to sustain. So, accountability partners kind of keep pushing yourself. And you, by setting up this mastermind, in a way did that. And it's a very interesting piece that a lot of newbie podcasters might want to look at, if at all they are planning to start podcasting. Because podcasting isn't easy. It's a little taxing. There are a lot of things that are there, and it is very easy to get overwhelmed. But the mastermind that you just spoke about is a good concept for people who want to start the podcast. Nice, good thought. And I think we saved the best for the last.
Yeah, indeed.
Right. So thanks a lot, Roshni, for taking the time out, coming on the show and talking to us about your show, about podcasting. It was a very interesting conversation, and I really enjoyed the entire conversation and all of the concepts, the topics that you spoke about. So thanks a lot for coming on the show and sparing the time to talk to us about podcasting.
Thank you so much, Dilip, for having me. It was very, very interesting and fun to have this conversation. Thank you so much.
Thanks. So we look forward to the season finale of your show, and all the best for season two. And we hope that you come out with something, you know, out of the box, just like what you've been doing with Acer Sales, and we'll look forward to it.
Yes, definitely. We'll do that. We'll rock it.
Thank you. Bye. I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Roshni as much as I did it. If you did, then don't forget to subscribe to the show to stay updated with the latest episodes. Do visit thepodcastinguniversity.com for the show notes and the resources mentioned in this episode. And also, don't forget to join my 4-day email course about the absolute basics of podcasting. This will help you get started with your own podcasts. Head over to the Podcasting University and sign up for the free course today. This Hubhopper original is available on all other podcasting platforms like Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, in addition to Hubhopper. I'll be back again with another interesting conversation. Until then, keep listening to the Podcasting University, and you all have a wonderful rest of the week.
इस हब हॉपर ओरिजिनल को सुनने के लिए आपका शुक्रिया। अगर आप भी अपना पॉडकास्ट लॉन्च करना चाहते हैं, तो हब हॉपर स्टूडियो वेबसाइट पे रजिस्टर करें और 1 मिनट के अंदर अंदर अपना खुद का पॉडकास्ट लॉन्च करें। यही नहीं, स्टूडियो देता है आपको पूरी आजादी कहीं भी कभी भी अपना पॉडकास्ट लॉन्च करने की, सिर्फ 3 आसान स्टेप्स में। तो साथ में अपना पॉडकास्ट शुरू करने के लिए तैयार, जस्ट हॉप ऑन हब हॉपर, सिंपली कॉन्टेंट।